What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. This week on Gospel Talk, we are looking at the roles of Christian wives and husbands as described to us in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. I think it'd be a good idea at the beginning of today's program to read these verses with you one more time. So listen to the Word of God here in 1 Peter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So we began the other day on Monday by looking at the first part of this passage, dealing with the submission of Christian wives. There's a whole series of commands and implied commands here, and we noted that, you know, when it comes to something like this, it would be very easy to become legalistic, to see this as a list of do's and don'ts, a list of things you need to do to measure up for the kingdom of heaven. That's why it's important to read this text in its context. The context is found in the first couple of chapters where God's people have their identity in what Jesus Christ has done for them. They have their identity in Jesus Christ. They are united to Jesus Christ. They are in Him. They are pilgrims and exiles. They are those who are connected to Christ. So this passage is talking about the fruit of faith. This passage is talking about what a Christian life looks like, the life of someone who loves God and wants to please their Father in heaven. So as we keep that in mind, this passage is addressed to married women. And as I mentioned the other day, I think there is something here for all women, whether they're married or not. But the main command here as it begins is indeed addressed especially to married women. The main command is right there in the first verse. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, the words "in the same way" are not meant to equate wives with slaves. In the end of chapter 2, Peter was speaking about slaves. So when he says "in the same way" or "in like manner," he's not equating wives with slaves. It's just indicating that Peter is writing to different groups of people. In other words, Peter is saying, I gave a command regarding submission to the slaves, and now I also have something for the wives. And then he's also going to have something for the husbands as well in a moment. So submission, and we talked quite a bit about that yesterday using Ephesians and looking at what Brian Chappell wrote in his Reformed Expository Commentary on Ephesians. Again, let's go back to the definition of submission. The word that's used there means that somebody renounces his or her own will for the will of somebody else. And they do that, as we noted yesterday, for the purpose of completing another and also for the purpose of glorifying another. In Paul's letters to the Ephesians and elsewhere, this is all connected to the church's submission to Christ. I think it's very easy to go wrong on these things, but if we always keep in mind the comparison between Christian marriage and the relationship between Christ and the church, I think that will often keep us on the right path. So submission, renouncing your will for the will of somebody else. And in the case of Christian wives, it means that they give up what they want for what their husbands want. They bring their wills into line with that of their covenant head, their husband. And again, as I noted yesterday, not other husbands, just their own husband. Right? There's no command in Scripture for all women to submit to all men. The command is for wives to submit to their own husbands. As long as what their husbands want is not contrary to Scripture, as long as it is in accordance with God and His will, Christian wives submit to their husbands. And when I say God's will, I don't mean that a husband can come along and say, you know, God spoke to me and he said that this and this and this and this, and therefore you have to listen to me. What I mean when I say God's will is God's will revealed in his word. Okay, none of this subjective God's giving me his revelation, God giving me his will. No, we have to always base God's will on the word of God explicitly. So as long as what their husbands want is not contrary to God's will revealed in Scripture, Christian wives submit to their husbands. And that kind of submission is not easy to accept. You know, we live in a culture that has been strongly influenced by feminist thinking. And when it rains in the world, it drips in the church. Sometimes it even drips quite heavily. It looks a lot like rain. On this point of submission, we have to be completely countercultural because the Scriptures are clear, friends. This passage in 1 Peter 3 is clear that this outward submission has to be in place for Christian women who are united to Christ. And this outward submission, to go further with this, it grows out of an inner beauty that can never be destroyed. You see, when a woman is a believer, when the triune God has been working in her life, there's something going on inside which brings a woman back into God's original purpose. That's reflected in verses 3 and 4. Peter says that a believing wife, and here's a place where we can extend the teaching here to all women. Peter says that a godly woman shouldn't be making a priority of outward adornment. He doesn't forbid having braided hair, wearing jewelry, and fine clothes, but he does say that those things shouldn't be a priority. The most important thing for a godly woman should be what lives in her heart. Think of what the Spirit says in Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. If there are any fathers who are listening to this, I encourage you to memorize those words. And if you've got daughters, impress those words on your daughters. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Good words for young Christian daughters to grow up knowing and believing. So godly beauty begins with the inner self, with cultivating a gentle and quiet spirit. Now those words, gentle and quiet, let's look at them closer for a minute. Gentle can also be translated as meek, but we should not confuse it with being weak. Right? The word refers to the humble and gentle attitude that expresses itself in patient submissiveness. One commentator puts it this way. He says, it is a condition of mind and heart which demonstrates gentleness, not in weakness, but in power. It is a balance born in strength of character. The other word is quiet. And quiet, what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. quiet. And taken together, Peter is saying that God values a woman who has a gentle and quiet inner life. This woman is not like men who are naturally competitive, trying to get ahead. This kind of woman is not always putting herself forward, trying to have her voice heard. Instead, she has a peace about her. And that peace is the internal source of outward submission. And this peace comes from the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, through knowing him as the Savior. Other outward behaviors are connected with this submission. Peter mentions a couple in verse 2 of 1 Peter 3. First, he talks about the purity of the lives of Christian women. That means that their lives are outwardly free from anything that would make them appear dirty and defiled. And in this way, there's also a connection with verse 3 and what it says about outward adornment. So for instance, if we're Christian women, we need to dress every day in such a way that it appears that we are Christian women. Of course, there may be plenty of unbelieving women, or even women from other religions, you know, think of Muslims, who dress modestly. And if you looked at them, okay, maybe not Muslims, but if you looked at them, you might think that they're believers. But the reverse should never hold true. Nobody should look at us, look at the way we're dressed, and then later be surprised to find out that we're a Christian. Oh, I didn't know that the Christians would dress that way. That happens, friends, dear sisters. We have a serious problem. In the way we dress, too, we often have to be countercultural. We have to go against a lot of the styles and the fashions that are popular in our culture because they're ungodly and they're immodest. They don't reflect the fruit of faith. They don't reflect the love for God that should be present in everyone who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The second thing Peter mentions in verse 2 is the reverence of the lives of Christian wives. The reverence being spoken of there is in reference to God. Christian women fear God. That means that they revere and respect God. And it shows in their lives. And to drive the point home, Peter uses a pattern and an example. The pattern is given in verse 5. He speaks of the holy women of the past. That's a reference to godly women in the Old Testament, women who hoped and trusted in God and in his promises. These godly women made themselves beautiful, not so much with outward things, but with that gentle and quiet spirit mentioned in verse 4. By that means, they were able to submit to their husbands. They could renounce their own wills and they could follow their covenant heads, insofar as their covenant heads were following God and his revealed will for them. Well, we're going to get to the example tomorrow. We're going to continue looking at this passage from 1 Peter 3. We've run out of time for today. As always, I'm glad that you've joined me for this edition of Gospel Talk. Hope you'll join me again tomorrow, same time, same place. Till then, may God bless you richly in every way.
Thank you for joining us today for Gospel Talk. If you've appreciated what you've been hearing on this program and you're not already, we'd like to encourage you to find a Christ-centered church with biblical preaching and teaching. For example, you could go online to www.canrc.org to see if there's such a church in your neighborhood. That website again, www.canrc.org. If there isn't such a church nearby and you'd like to be involved in starting one, we invite you to contact us. You can write us via email at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk@hotmail.com. We also have a toll-free number, 1-866-288-1087. That's 1-866-288-1087. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon on Gospel Talk. May Christ's gospel continue to lavishly bless you.